Well, I'm thankful to be here. The last time that I was scheduled to make this appearance, I found myself in bed and groaning and wished that the day would end, and I began to think at times it never would. So I'm happy that to be here. Probably would feel a little bit more at ease if I was out there amongst you, but I will try to do my best. We'll do a little reading tonight, and also probably enjoy a little untalent show here, because I'm not an artist, and I know I've got this board up here, and I will make some feeble attempts at some drawings that will probably amuse most. But on the contrary, if you happen to be like the Jews or the Greeks that were written to in 1 Corinthians, you may have a little bit different feelings. And I'm going to read to you how they felt, just so if you have these feelings, you'll know what nationality you are. It's found in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Remember, this was Paul writing, and I'm going to begin with the 17th verse. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And, of course, there had been some contention and a lot of hoopla about who had baptized who and what significance that might have had. And those are not really of any concern to any of us who baptized you, other than that he be one that had authority. The key is, what was your commitment? And what are you doing with that commitment today? But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Just the other day, well, we're still trying, I believe, to find which one of the...
Solomon.
Pardon me?
They found Solomon's Saint.
Okay, but we just sent up some months back, we sent up a beagle too. We sent up, and you know, now they can't find it. The wisdom of this world just doesn't have what it takes sometimes to reach their destinations. Probably, perhaps, because we're trying to go places where we have no business. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And hopefully tonight, with a little effort and some foolishness, maybe we will all go away with some thoughts that will provoke us throughout the week, and maybe make next year a little different than this year. I'm stumbling and pausing, trying to decide just exactly how I want to proceed, because I honestly don't know exactly how to present the thoughts that have been placed in my mind. We have just passed that season of year when we have spent time remembering that our Savior was born, that He was that being that was born of woman, interestingly enough, and not the seed of man, because he came from God. That we recognize that he was our Savior. And it's interesting that we cannot talk about his birth without also talking about his crucifixion and ultimate resurrection these days, because they become one unit for us to dwell on. For one thing for us to hang on to, you might say, in desperation. For the Jews, it's the only sign they've got, and they rejected it as a nation. For the Greeks, it's just a bunch of history, and it's a bunch of hoopla that they don't care about. It's not important to them. So some of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight is just going to be unimportant to you, and others are going to say, well, where was the sign and all that? And I promise you there'll be no statistics, and there'll be no signs. There may be some graphs, but that'll be it. I'm going to be asking for help from different ones. How many hunters do I have out there? Got one, two, three, at least three people. I see another little timid hand up here like that. It's a wannabe hunter, and she's trying to learn. This lesson will help you, believe it or not, Cynthia. Laura. I hope everyone can see this, and I'm going to have to slide it back so I can get in front of it and block it so you can't see it at all. I'm drawing from training that I received I was sitting here just trying to calculate it up in my head, and it's been about 35 years ago now. You see, I did spend a short time in the service, and you do learn to fire a weapon. You can't call it a gun there. It's just a weapon. My targets were not round. They were silhouettes. And for your sake, I'm going to just draw targets tonight. But, and I'm a poor artist, as I said, but I'm going to draw a rifle out here, if this thing will work. And you, of course, have a little trigger mechanism in there. All of you recognize that. And there's a little device out here on the end of that barrel and another one up in here that you look through. My target is way over here. Unfortunately, I never draw straight lines, so this is going to be hard to illustrate. But if I'm that person looking through those sights, I've got a straight line that runs something like this. And if I've got a steady hand, I'm going to have a bead that shows up right there on that target, right dead center. If my hands aren't so steady, when I squeeze that trigger, I probably won't hit that point. But in all this, there's some other things that go into play here. Remember where I told you this is about 300 yards out here? Can anyone tell me how far that is? I know that sounds stupid to ask you that, but how far is 300 yards? It's a long ways. About three football fields, isn't it? Three football fields. That also happens to be about the distances, if I remember correctly, that it takes to stop a semi if it's running 70 miles an hour down the interstate. And Roger nods his head, yes. I don't know that that's accurate, but it's approximate. That might help you also. Think about that semi, the wheels are spinning here beside you, and suddenly he's got to shut that thing down. He's going to be way down there before you ever see him come to a stop. Well, of course, the object of a gun is to shoot a projectile correctly. Oops, I used the wrong word. It's okay. And I didn't draw things quite right here. I should have had those sights a little bit higher so you could see it better. But in order for that round to hit this target, we have got to be able to know that that round is going to have to travel this way. And ultimately, it'll get to the point that we're going at. Can anyone tell me why that is? Why did we have to shoot high? Pardon me? Gravity. You can't defy gravity, can you? It's one of God's laws. Don't forget that. It's one of the many laws that He put into motion. Has never changed. I don't really care what this distance is here. It can be calculated. And those that do a lot of weaponry know just exactly how much they have to adjust to hit this target out here. That's not my concern right at the moment. There are weapons that they don't calculate these kinds of things particularly, because they use such a light projectile that, and so much power behind it, that it will nearly run a straight line. But by and large, the ones that have the ability to do damage, you have to figure out this problem and determine what will get me to my target. Like I said, my targets were silhouettes. My silhouettes had a little problem. A lot of people had been there before I had, and they had the same objective, to be able to pass the test that they were under. Well, I told you I wasn't going to draw a silhouette, but I will. He would look something like this. Down here at the bottom was a nice little hinge, and there was a device on that, and I don't know what it looked like because I never got close enough to see. It's hard to define those kinds of things at 300 yards. But it was designed to where it could pop up, and then you had to shoot at it and knock it down. Guess where everybody aimed? Closer you got to that center, the bigger the hole was in that piece of metal or wood or whatever it was out there. You didn't dare try to shoot there because you had missed the target. It was like it wasn't there and it wouldn't go down. You had to aim up in here. So I learned that if I wanted to pass, I was going to have to be somewhat accurate. There are other weapons that we use nowadays. Some of you, I'll just draw the long bow because to draw the compound bow is much more difficult. And you can fit an arrow in there. Of course, you draw that string back and you put a lot of pressure on it. And I'll get that arrow halfway straight. I'll put some feathers on it so you know that it's a real one. Could anyone tell me roughly the distance that this thing can go and what velocity it would be going at in comparison to the rifle?
Depends on what bow you're shooting and what arrow weight you're using, but depending on what kind of a good bow. A really good bow would fire 300 feet per second with a 100 grain arrow, or no, 100 grain point. And that would be, it's going to drop a foot every 10 yards.
So probably you're going to get out 56.
40 yards is about the maximum range you want to shoot.
Okay. So we're going to draw that target way in here, aren't we? Kind of a short range target, and we're about 40 yards. See, I guessed at home that was about 50 yards, and I have never shot a bow for.
If you're shooting deer, it's going to hear it because the speed of sound, I think, is over 1,000 feet per second. And if you're traveling 300 feet per second,
yeah.
The farther distance it is, the more chance it's going to have of hearing it jumping.
Spooking your target. This round here is probably, remember, we're just talking round numbers, but many of them will run in the neighborhood of 2,500 to 2,800 feet per second, and the weight that's being pushed is much less than that arrow. Even when you use the aluminum arrow and you use you know, all the refinements that you can come up with to make it fly straight, using a perfectly straight shaft. Remember, I redrew that arrow because I had a crooked one. Try shooting a crooked arrow someday and see where it goes. Not very straight. You'll never hit the target. You get it in the bow one time and it goes that way, and the next time it goes this way. You know, it's kind of like golf then. And I'm not a golfer either. He gave you a whole lot more statistics than I gave you up here. He told you that arrow is going to drop, what was it, 10 feet per?
Yeah, drops
a foot per every 10 yards. So at 40 yards, we're going to drop 4 feet. You're going to have a big arch on this thing. And you didn't go very far. Now let's get rid of that ghost down here, the silhouette. I don't really want you to be thinking about that too much. Like I said, we're approaching that time of year when we kind of take stock of last year, which is this year, and then think about what we want to do next year. What changes do we want to make? Who do we want to become?
Perhaps I won't wander around for a few minutes here, so I'll leave that other mic off.
Forgot where I put things here. I changed my mind. I hope I have that prerogative. Let's change things for just a moment here. And think about just lay it down, the simplest thing. We talked about Beagle 2 and the fact that it's way out there. Where was it? Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, wherever. Saturn, was that where? Mars is where it was headed. You and I hope you can see down here, we sit on this little green planet that's significant to you and I. This chalkboard is a pretty poor representation of the universe because it's so vast. But in order for you to see it even, to put it on your scope, I'm going to drop heaven down just a notch or two. And so it ends up being in your universe. And I'm sure you can't read what I just wrote, so I'll tell you that word is heaven. It's your target. If I use any one of these conventional methods to aim at heaven, what do you think my chances are? I see a head shook back there. What comparison is there? I can use the most powerful weapon I know, and there are some that will shoot 25 miles, maybe further. We have rockets that go further. But if that is my goal, and bear in mind we've got a whole bunch more things that we're going to have to consider. We're going to have to consider the fact that this sphere that you and I call Earth is moving, so you're on a poor foundation at best. Heaven, who has seen it? No hands out there? Who has seen heaven? I haven't seen it either. But if that's my target, how am I going to get there? How am I going to get anything there? I can promise you that If I use that rifle, there's going to be a little thing that's going to look like this way down here. And if I'm not careful, what I sent up is going to come right back on me. I'm sure there's no one here who has done this next thing. How many of you have taken your bow and your arrow out there and you just couldn't resist and you wanted to see how high you could send it? And it disappeared. What did you want to do? Run. Fred's looking for a rock to get underneath, you know? He knows where it's safe. Well, not that I'm much wiser than when I was young, but I was stupid enough to try that one time. And it was pretty neat when it went out of sight until the realization came to me that I didn't have any idea where it was going to reappear. And I defy you to find a way to stand still. You're going to run. That may not be the wisest thing to do either, because you may run right underneath that arrow. And you may have a new head ornament. And it won't look like the antlers that a lot of you guys like to go hunting for. Well, if heaven is our target, and we come to the realization that the conventional weaponry that we know about is not going to reach it, then I guess I have to revert to foolishness and go back to the scriptures and try to find out what it is that will help me to obtain that target. To help me do that, I'm going to turn to Colossians for a few minutes here. Somewhat like our brother Roger this morning, I understood perfectly his quandary. What scripture do I read? Because they tell me basically the same thing, maybe different words. But our Savior, in His infinite wisdom, provided each writer with a way of portraying the things that were important to Him.
Turn that off so those nagels so bad. Somewhat like the story of a group of fellows who were introduced to an elephant, all of them being blind, and one thought he was very much like a tree, another that he was very much like a rope, another one that he was just a snake, another one got slapped by his ear and thought he was just a great big leaf. Each one of them portraying something that perhaps you can grasp a hold of and have an idea of what it is that is required of you to reach that goal. So if we want to have that true picture, then it's best for us to take all of these things and try to combine them. Put that rope in its proper place. Put the tree stumps where they belong. And let the snake be where it should be and the leaves where they should be. And you'll come up with a true picture of that elephant. And perhaps that's a very poor use of an example. But I see, as I look at what John wrote in Revelations, that he tried three or four different ways to try to tell us what was important, what you could expect, what awaits you there.
In the third chapter of Colossians, and I'll begin with the second verse, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, if you're like me, then things of this earth are the things that you're comfortable with. They're the things that you understand. They're the things that are reality to you, and you can comprehend them. And we're surrounded by a world that says, make that $100 bill your target and go for it. Get it. Make your target that home. And it's about 100 times more expensive, but obtain it. Oh, and yes, it's very important what you ride around in, isn't it? Acquire it. Set your affections on things above. Who can buy a cloud? Who can put a price on a thunderstorm? And yet we each one depend on. And I dare say that I have twisted the scriptures already, because I don't believe that he was speaking here of clouds or thunderstorms when he said, put your affections, the things that you care about, put them on things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. A concept that is difficult to comprehend. How can I hide in Christ? It's not like Fred trying to get underneath a rock to get away from that arrow. How can I be hid there? As I said tonight, I perhaps may not give you a lot of answers, because I want you to go away with a bunch of questions that you will decide that maybe it's worth my while to open up the tools that have been given and find some answers. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I'm sure each one of you understand what was just said there. You know, if you want to live this way, he's going to come and get you, man. The wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience. There's no rock to hide underneath. There's only one way. Find out how can you hide in Christ. Well, perhaps one little key is the fact that those things mentioned there in the fifth verse, they're going to have to be separated from your lifestyle. They can't be a part of you if you're going to hide in Christ. In the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. It's not enough to just get rid of some of those sins. There's a whole other list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. That means that if I'm going to put on that new man, if I'm going to be able to hide myself in Christ, then I need to become pretty familiar with the tools that I'm using to try and aim at my target. I need to be able to take that weapon and break it down to all of its components and know what will make it function. What, in my case, what would protect me? In your case, out there on the deer stand or in your duck blind or, you know, looking for that nice covey, well, I guess covey is the incorrect word, but anyway, a large grouping of turkeys, which just incidentally the other day I seen a grouping of them that was about 100. Never in my life did I imagine I could see that many deer or turkeys at one time. All of them stupid. Saw a small portion of them the following day. There was 18 or 20, something like that, wasn't it, Bonnie? You know, every one of them flying a different direction and trying to get out of the way. And then they say, oh, everyone's going that way. So they turn back and come back over the top of you. Probably not quite high enough to miss you either. And one poor little bird says, I just don't want to fly. Where's the hole in the fence? I want to get there anyway. How many of us are looking for the hole in the fence? Going to get there anyway. The target's awful high. I'm afraid crossing the fence isn't going to make it. You know, I can look at this list, and if I weren't very careful, I could kind of just kind of begin to feel the hackles come up on my neck, you know. Have you ever seen a cat or a dog that has met up with something that it's just very displeased about? You know, you can see they're unhappy. And they're ready to attack it. They're going to destroy it, man. It's just no question. Their carnal mind, they're going to destroy their target. Well, when someone comes at me and says that I'm full of anger and wrath and malice and that I'm a blasphemer and that I allow filthy communications to come out of my mouth and that I heard you lie just yesterday. What do you think is going on inside of me? I'm ready to kill my target. Because, you know, I want to go around thinking that I'm above all those things. I don't stoop to that low level. Just 2 years ago, I realized how close I was to one of these, anger. If I didn't preach that sermon here, I preached it in two or three other places. The sorrow that it brought me. Yes, the lesson that I learned. The dog that I had to bury because of it. But that's another subject. What I'm trying to say to you is that none of us are above finding ourselves not stupid, but falling into one of these pits. Life is full of pitfalls. And from time to time, we're going to find ourselves, you know, not just knee deep in the mire, but about nose level, about to go under. you're not going to pull yourself out any more than you're going to reach that heavenly target with one of these tools that I mentioned, even the most powerful that exists. You'll not get close to it. And sending something else to heaven isn't what your objective is anyway. It's sending yourself. What power is going to propel you there? How can you become that projectile that's going to get there? Perhaps the 12th verse will give us a little thought to put you on the way to an answer. Is how am I going to project myself to there? How will I propel myself there? The truth is, you can't. But there is still a way. Put on, therefore, in the 12th verse, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Perhaps you remember this morning that you were told, it's not what you think, it's what you do that counts. Well, what you think counts too, because that's what you end up doing. And I think Brother Roger said that as well, if I remember correctly. You remember he told you, the scripture talks about cutting out your eye if it offends you. If you find yourself looking in things that you have no business looking at, if you're listening to things that you have no business listening to, cut your ear off. Well, of course, cutting your ear off just kind of mutilates you. It doesn't stop your hearing. It's still there unless you drive a chopstick in it or something. The only way to do that would be to dismember your brain, your mind. And who can do that and survive? You can't. Guess what, though? God can do it. He can dismember your mind and put it back together again, and you think more clearly and understand His will more purely, and you're more prepared to make that journey. Let the word of Christ dwell on you richly in all wisdom. How can that happen unless you gather up the words that have been printed for you and I and spend time in them? If this goal is important to you, is it worth your time? Randy and I were discussing that very subject tonight, time. And I didn't double check his calculations, but he says, presume that in a week's time you spend 270 hours doing life, let's say it that way. You're just doing life, you know, going to work, driving down the highway, and everything else that's in combined, eating. I love eating. His words was, how much time did you spend in church? Well, I'd ask, how much of that time did you spend in the Word?
If you got, I think it's on. Hours that came back on now. Goes to prove to you that even though I didn't intend to, I lied. Huh? You came to church this morning and you came on time and you used the Sunday school in church, and Brother Roger spoke overtime, so you got 2 hours and a quarter if you're lucky. He didn't speak overtime, by the way. So you're back to 2 hours. Wednesday night, you get another hour and a half, maybe. For most of us, that's our week, right? So we got 3.5 hours over here. It's kind of hard to do that when you got decimals, so I'll call it 3.5 comparison to 270. I'm not a very good mathematician, but to break that down to a common denominator is not very possible. Although, let's see, that's about 1/9 of your time, not quite. One-ninetieth, isn't it? Pardon me? Yeah, 1/90. I told you I wasn't a mathematician. 1/90 of your time was spent.
It went dead again suddenly. Was spent in some form of the word being spoken to you. If it's like tonight, I forgot tonight, didn't I? So we could raise that to 4.5. I apologize. If I stop on time, you know, I've probably spent 15 minutes reading out of the Word. The rest of it's been my own rhetoric, which is pretty wasteful of your hour. And I guess I should apologize. In that little minuscule amount of time, how are you and I going to learn what it is that God wants out of us? How can I prepare myself to be willing to let God? Well, I might have the willingness, but to be prepared for Him to project me to heaven, if you allow me to say it that way. I'm afraid I might end up like that little blip down there at the bottom. I won't even get out of the atmosphere of this earth. Oftentimes, when we read the scripture in Colossians, you know, we want to stop with the 17th verse and just leave it there. But he got pretty pointed with us. He spoke to the women, he spoke to the men, he spoke to the children. And I'm going to read those things tonight, too, because I feel like they're important for us. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And of course, I can just, you know, here goes the hackles up on some people. Man, I ain't going to do that. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Well, that old nag, she's always on my case about, you know, whatever it is that she's on my case about. Quite honestly, I want you all to know I don't call her that. I only did that as an example. I'm sorry. What is your attitude towards each other? these are the tools of choice for life's pathway. Pick up the scriptures. Spend a little bit more than 1/90th of your time in them. It's amazing what you'll understand. And it might be what saves your soul.
Thank you, Jim. Tomorrow night here will be a study class at 7 p.m. Wednesday will be a prayer service. It's New Year's Eve. It'll also be at 7 p.m. as usual. Saturday, the YPCA will have a costume party and white elephant gift at the temple lot at 6:30 p.m. And remember to pick up a bulletin with the February calendar in it out in the back. I have an announcement of a wedding reception here. There's an open house for Rochelle Bruner and Nick Meyer. It says invite you to their wedding reception at 3:30 p.m. on January the 3rd, 2004. It will be held at Meadowview Gardens. It's on Highway Z south of Bates City. And at least this morning there were some flyers out there, and there's a map on the back on how to get there. Finger food will be served. If you would like to bring a favorite, please do. Let's close this evening with the use of hymn number 291. Number 291. And Alvin, would you offer a closing prayer, please? Number 291. Righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to attend these services in thy house this day. We thank you, thou art here. We thank you for these scriptures and for thy Son, Jesus Christ.
We ask that you might guide and direct us. Take us by the elbow and help us along as we strive to keep our eye on the target, that goal that we wish to reach with Thee. We ask for others that may be confused or need help, those that are depressed or downtrodden, that we might be able to help them. And above all, Lord, that you would touch their hearts. Go with the sick and afflict, those that are hurting this night. We think of our sister Velma in the hospital, our brother Bill Mann, that you will heal them. Guide and direct, Lord, for the days ahead, our warfare, that indeed thy will might be done. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.